based upon human dignity, the nature of a human person, that we protect certain human rights.
Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And then amongst these human rights, the very first one is going to be the right to life, and then the right to liberty, especially religious liberty, and then how freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly and association, how these things actually hang together or they fall together. That a society that doesn't respect the free exercise of religion also will tend not to respect freedom of speech or freedom of press or the right to life or rights of private property, that these civil liberties tend to hang together.
You can meet and hear Ryan Anderson making the case for our first freedoms at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. An annual report from the UN recently came out. It had to do with population, world population. It reads, at least in its summary, a lot like a UN advertisement for, well, they use terms like choice and reproductive choice, but it's a UN advertisement for the United States and other countries exporting abortion to countries that don't have it already or outlaw it already. Yes, there are still countries on the globe that outlaw in one form or another abortion. Recently, The Atlantic took up the subject. Olga Kazan wrote a piece called When Abortion is Illegal, Women Rarely Die, But They Still Suffer, looking at countries where abortion is still illegal. It's odd. If I read this and I was pro-choice, it would really scare me about abortion drugs. That's what it focuses on a lot. Joining us to respond to this article from The Atlantic, Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Todd, always a pleasure to be with you.
Before we get into the subject at hand proper, you just saw the Gosnell movie.
Yes, I did, and I thought it was fantastic, and I would encourage your listeners to see it. It has so many good things for pro-lifers in it, and one of the big things in it is it gives three what I think are indisputable takeaways for the pro-life advocate. Number one, visuals matter. You don't see graphics in the movie. You don't see aborted children, only from a distance, and it's not disturbing. What I would say, though, is you see the reaction of the jury when they saw the images of the aborted children and those children killed by Gosnell through infanticide, and it's a game changer. I mean, the whole narrative changes when they see it, including among people who support abortion. So that's a takeaway for pro-lifers. The other thing is you get a real sense that the jury was persuaded because the prosecution kept the main thing the main thing. They didn't get distracted by all the name-calling. The other side said, hey, you're racist, you hate poor women, you're just trying to take away abortion rights. And the prosecution stuck to one question, were people killed here? That's crucial. And then worldviews matter. As soon as you reject the claim that all humans have value, you get Gosnell. And those three points came through really clear.
One of the alarms that's been sounding since the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, even before that, was that Roe is teetering on the edge, and it probably is, its days are numbered, Roe will be overturned. Even with the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, do you think that's going to happen?
You know, that's a great question. Obviously, the opponents of the pro-life view scream like crazy anytime there's a possible restriction on abortion, and it's always the same storyline. You're going to turn Roe v. Wade over. Women are going to die. This is going to be awful for women's rights. The reality is, we don't know what the Supreme Court is going to do. What the president is doing is putting people on the court who are strict constitutionalists. They look at the Constitution and say, is there a right to an abortion here? If they say no, they've got a couple of choices. They could gut Roe, meaning they could make it so it's functionally not applying anymore, and states will begin to pass legislation. Or what they may do, and this scares me a little bit, they could say, look, this has been a precedent for so long, the risk of overturning this is something we need to take our time with, and they slow the pace down. I don't know what they're going to do, but I know it's going to be better than what we would have gotten with a Hillary Clinton appointee.
So turning to the Atlantic article, it purports to take a look at countries where abortion is illegal to one degree or another, mm-hmm. and then focus on the dangers that an abortionless or an abortion illegal society poses to women. It concedes that women will rarely die, but they're still in danger of, as the headline says, suffering. What's your general reaction to the Atlantic piece?
This is a devastating blow to the pro-abortion side, this article, and I'll tell you why. They have been telling us for years it's an objective fact that women die when there's illegal abortion. Now, we can, to some degree, measure deaths. Suffering is somewhat subjective, and it's interesting in the article, they admit that women rarely die when abortion is made illegal, but they say this, some women's rights advocates, and I'm quoting the article here, fear this might lead to more women suffering in the United States, but they don't say what suffering means in any objective sense, and notice they don't cite any evidence. They simply say they fear this might happen. So this is a major concession that pro-lifers should seize on and say, hey, we've been telling you all along this is bunk, and here we've got a piece in The Atlantic admitting that.
One of the things that it does focus on is medical abortion or a drug-induced mm-hmm. abortion, and it paints a pretty, I think, a rather realistic picture of how these drugs are both used and abused and attempted. For me, I take two things away, and I wonder if you concur. One, if Roe were ever overturned in states where abortion is made illegal or severely restricted, the abortion druggists will cash in. And two, a lot of women really are going to suffer under medical abortion.
Well, there's this assumption out there that says that if you tell a woman she can't have an abortion, she will go ahead and get one anyway, that she's sort of like this Pavlovian dog that can't help herself, and she just suddenly loses her moral agency, inability to think, and she will be driven to the back alleys, driven to dangerous drugs. The irony here is it's been pro-abortion groups who have been marketing these mail-order abortions in places like Ireland and other places, and now they're coming back and saying, oh, this is going to represent a terrible health threat to women. It seems like they're trying to have it both ways.
How much do you trust the reporting that a lot of this speculation is based upon? I'm not talking about the journalism. I'm talking about the number of women who have abortions, the Guttmacher Institute, all those numbers upon which mm-hmm. the speculation is based.
I don't trust them a whole lot, and I'll tell you why. Number one, many of these third world countries can't even count their own population, let alone figure out how many women are, quote, suffering, unquote, from illegal abortion. Then the other thing I would point out here is that they've been telling us for decades that women are dying by the thousands, and now they're going back on this. And I think that is a major credibility blow to their case here.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He's president of Life Training Institute. You'll find a link to Life Training Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the reporting. It is often said that even the best, or what's considered kind of the industry standard, the Guttmacher Institute, we are still looking at only a fraction of the abortions actually occur in the United States. Stay tuned.
Western man, there's no going back behind Christ. It's either Christ or it's nothing at all. If it's nothing at all, then he ceases to have any culture or any civilization, properly speaking. His civilization comes to an end.
Dr. Anthony Eslin, author of the best-selling book Out of the Ashes, talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But for Western man to know Christ and then to turn away from him, to have his whole civilization built upon the Christian faith, and then to turn away from that is suicide.
You can meet and hear Dr. Anthony Esselin making the case for Western civilization at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Wednesday afternoon, October the 17th, we're talking with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute about a column in The Atlantic on women suffering after illegal abortion. Scott, we were talking before about the accuracy of abortion numbers, how they're really reported, and I think even the pro-choice side concede that it's underreported. I had a guest on recently, a pastor from Wyoming, who just ran the numbers for his state, and he found that the disparity between what was reported in one venue and the Guttmacher Institute was a factor of 17. That is, 17 times less abortions were reported in one venue as opposed to another for his state of Wyoming. That staggers me, if the underreporting can be that great.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Since Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, states have not been required to report abortion data. They do it volitionally, which means we don't have government-mandated statistics. And one of the things that happens in articles like this, one we're looking at in the Atlantic right now, people love to compare apples with oranges and make the claim that causation equals correlation. That's simply not a good way to go. Just because a third world country, it is speculated, had a problem with abortion-related suffering if the practice was restricted, does not mean that's going to happen here in the U.S. And they always cite these third world countries with economies and civilization structures vastly different from our own, governments vastly different from our own, and say, well, that's what's going to happen here. And I was in a debate at UC Berkeley a couple of years ago with Malcolm Potts, the former medical director of Planned Parenthood, and he tried to bring up what happened in Romania and in these other former Soviet bloc countries when abortion was restricted. But in his own book, he says, and I held this up for the audience to see, I said, in his own book, Dr. Potts says that the pro-choice side often overestimates and highlights exaggerated statistics in order to make political gain. So it's sort of odd here that on one hand they've told us for decades women are going to die by the thousands, and now they're saying, no, we weren't quite right about that, but the suffering is real. But then you look at the words in the article here in The Atlantic. They're not citing statistics. They say things like pro-choice groups worry this might happen or fear this might happen. And I just don't think this is credible data.
Why the sudden honesty then? Why the sudden, when they were saying, I think just about a week ago, up until 5 minutes ago, they were saying women are going to die. They were saying things like you could see it in the streets. If we confirm Brett Kavanaugh, women will die.
Mm-hmm.
And The Atlantic is not some sort of fringe publication. It usually is right in the mainstream of the reproductive rights movement. Why the sudden honesty?
I can't tell you for sure. I'm going to speculate here. I'm going to guess that pro-lifers and other honest statisticians have so debunked this massive death from illegal abortion claim that it's just not sustainable anymore. And it has become too hard to defend. So now they're retreating to something that I think resonates with more people. Word like suffering, or we're worried they might suffer, and they are banking on that being enough. That's my best guess.
I want you to come back to something you mentioned before because it intrigues me. The picture that is painted of women here is almost robotic.
Yeah.
I've decided to have an abortion. Uh-oh, it's illegal. I'm going to find any way, no matter how dangerous to myself, mm-hmm. to get this done.
It's a very demeaning view of women. It's demeaning, first of all, to suggest that women need special surgery to gain equality with men. That alone is bad enough. But then you start painting women as these creatures that are just, they're going to respond robotically, and they can't help themselves. They've got to do this. They have no ability to think it through rationally. They're just desperate, irrational people who will seek an abortion no matter what. This is crazy, and it certainly didn't happen here in the U.S. when in 1976 the Hyde Amendment cut off federal funding for abortion. We were told at that point that poor women would die in the back alleys of America, blood would flow in the streets, and conservatives would be to blame, and that simply didn't happen. In fact, what did happen is we saw a reduction in the abortion rate in certain places where the law no longer allowed for funding. So this idea that women are going to respond and have no choice, no ability to help themselves, I find that very demeaning.
With regard to the reporting, Scott, is there a tie-in to something we discussed at the very beginning, and that is the Kermit Gosnell case? Gosnell operated with impunity for decades. Mm-hmm. Not so much as a health official appeared in his clinic or even showed any interest in it, much less law enforcement or government. He was ultimately caught not because of what he was doing with respect to these unborn children, but because of a suspected drug ring that he was involved in. And I hardly, after people have, the law officials have toured his facility, I'm sure they had to be wondering, how did this go unreported? How did this go unnoticed for so long?
Well, in Gosnell's case, the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Ridge, made a concerted effort to make sure that none of this came to light. He squelched it because of his abortion worldview, and he was a Republican. Now, true, most Republican governors wouldn't have done that, but he did. And the sad reality is, because there aren't mandated recording and reporting requirements, Gosnell was able to get off scot-free, as you said, for decades before this was discovered.
Is that maybe a place to begin with about a minute here, Scott, to say, if Roe were overturned, to say maybe we just need mandatory reporting state by state so we really know how many abortions are occurring in each state, if it's illegal in that state at some point post-Roe? We need to know that as well.
Yeah, that certainly isn't a bad place to start. And the public's been misled on Roe. Look, if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, abortion does not become illegal anywhere in the United States the day after. It remains exactly as it is. What will happen then is it will revert back to the states to make their own laws about how they want to proceed with this. And ending Roe v. Wade will not end abortion, and any pro-lifers who think it will are living in a dream world. It is, however, a necessary step to setting the groundwork for passing laws that protect unborn children.
And should reporting be among those laws?
Yeah, it should be. They should have to be subjected to the same medical standards that every other health clinic is responsible for. And they've been able to get a pass on it. Abortion clinics have not had to abide by those laws.
I did notice the one thing that the Atlantic article meticulously avoided, as publications like it usually do when discussing abortion. There was virtually no mention of the unborn. Does that surprise you with 30 seconds?
No, not at all. People love to answer the question, can we kill the unborn, without ever answering the question, what is the unborn? And this is why pro-lifers have to keep the main thing the main thing. We've got to stay focused on the status of the unborn, even as we work to incrementally limit the evil of abortion.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. When you purchase this book using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for The Case for Life by Scott Klusendorf. Scott, thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Passover in Exodus 12, and Pastor Jonathan Fisk in Part 6 of our series on Proverbs. We'll talk about wisdom is easy to find, but hard to accept. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Life in the ministry can be very blessed and very, very hard. It's well known that church workers experience high rates of burnout, depression, and mental illness. But why? And what can be done about it? Join Beverly Yonke, Todd Peppercorn, Heidi Gaiman, and others as they explore answers to tough questions about the ministry and mental health in the October issue of The Lutheran Witness. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.